Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and I'm the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which is both a podcast and a blog. Today on the podcast, we actually have two guests. So I was fortunate to interview my yoga teachers, Andrea and Irene, and both of them have a really unique story about how they became yoga teachers and what led them to yoga in their lives. So the first teacher that I interview is Irene Muniz, and her background is primarily in the mental health industry. That's where she has been giving back to the community, and she actually just quit her job and she's going to pursue being a yoga teacher full time. So I'm really excited to see how that journey pans out for her. I really loved her story because she talks about how she decided to go for her teacher training when she was transitioning between jobs, and it was definitely a big risk that she took. But it ended up being so worth it in the long run, and her story is just so inspiring. So I think you all are really going to resonate with her story. Now, the other teacher that I interviewed was Andrea Hansen. And Andrea spent over a year in Baghdad, Iraq, and she came home a very different person. First, she found meditation, and then she found yoga on her journey to finding peace. She signed up for yoga teacher training to deepen her practice and decided to teach yoga in an effort to give to others what yoga has given her. She also completed her 200-hour yoga teacher training. She actually did so in California. This was before she moved to New Jersey with her husband and kids. And I think there's a lot to be learned from Andrea's journey as well. So I'm really excited to hear your feedback on this episode. And before we jump right in, I just want to chat about today's podcast episode sponsor, Coco Chantel Candles. Okay, so you guys know that I'm very heavily into the non-toxic lifestyle, but did you know that not all candles are created equal? It's true. The American Chemical Society has done studies which prove that certain types of candles add chemicals and pollutants to your air. And I promise not to go on like a crazy tangent about this, but I think it's really important to note that most conventional candles are made with paraffin wax, which is ultimately made of petroleum and other synthetic fragrances. And when you burn these conventional candles, they emit various levels of toxic chemicals, including but not limited to cancer-causing toluene and benzene, alkanes and alkenes. I don't know about you, but to me that sounds really gross. Insert Coco Chantel Candles. Coco Chantel Candles is an eco-friendly candle line that still maintains the integrity of a quality candle with a long-lasting aroma. The company is a small shop owned by Chantel. She is a one-person show, and she creates the candles in small batches using only the best essential oils and fragrances. And these candles are composed of vegetable soy wax, natural cotton wicks, and are vegan-friendly. My personal favorite is the hazelnut coffee. I actually have a couple of them, and I like to light mine while I work on my blog in my living room. I kind of feel like I'm sitting in a coffee shop with that coffee aroma. I'm actually super excited because she just released her new spring line scents, and they include lavender sage, flower fields, ocean mist, mimosa sundaes, coconut mahogany, teakwood tides, and sea salt and orchid. I cannot wait to purchase the lavender sage and mimosa sundaes. Mimosa sundaes just sounds like it's living for brunch. If you want to purchase your own Coco Chantel candles, head over to www.cocochantelcandles.com. And as always, thank you for supporting the BYOK podcast sponsors. Okay, and without further ado, I hope everybody enjoys this week's episode of the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. Hi Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. Today I have Irene and Andrea with us. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Of course, I'm really excited to jump in. So let's start with Irene. Would you mind giving me a brief background about yourself?
Sure. I'm Irene, and I am a 200-hour registered yoga teacher. I'm also a social worker from 9 to 5. I work at a residential treatment center in New Jersey. I'm originally from El Paso, Texas, but have been living in the East Coast for about 14 years now, and in New Jersey for about 7. So I moved up here, went to grad school in Baltimore and Maryland, and kind of really got into practicing and got focused on my yoga practice. And from there, I feel like it really, my practice in Baltimore really planted the seed for me to then pursue it and become certified as a teacher.
So I love that your yoga practice and teaching yoga is actually your side hustle, but I also think it's really cool that you just told me that you're going to be doing it full time.
Yes. So I'm really excited about making this huge, very scary but exciting leap and just completely changing, my career and kind of getting out of the mental health field and coming into the wellness and health and fitness world full time.
So. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Andrea, would you mind giving us a brief background about yourself?
Okay. Hi, my name is Andrea, and I am also a 200-hour registered yoga teacher. I'm originally from Los Angeles, California. I've been living here, 7-8 months now. I'm a wife and a mom, 2 kids, and I just did this little thing. I was in the Army for a little bit, for 8 years.
That's a long time.
it's nothing. And then I've traveled a little bit. I went to Iraq in 2003-04. It was the start of going down this road of getting better after I got home. I walked into a yoga studio one day and I was just hooked and decided to take the plunge to become a teacher because yoga was that first time where I could acknowledge that I was still here and breathing and I should be thankful for it. And it sparked my want to live rather than exist.
Yeah. I can't wait to jump into that story because I just find that so incredibly inspiring. but I do have another question for you guys. So you both said that you are 200-hour yoga teacher. So what does that exactly mean for people who don't practice yoga or they don't really, they're not familiar with the training for it?
So 200-hour is the basic yoga teacher training that you can do. They're pop all around the country at local yoga studios, or even you can do a resort style. And basically it's giving you a very brief overview of the history of yoga, the 8 limbs of yoga, breathing, and how to teach yoga and anatomy and physiology of the body. It's just the basic gist of what you need to know as a practitioner and as someone who may want to teach yoga.
I feel like 200 hours is actually a very intensive program, though. How is it typically set up? Do you go to yoga school for a weekend, or is it over an extensive period of time?
So I think they vary. So for mine, I did my yoga teacher training at Unique Yoga down in the Shore, Jersey Shore. I was living in Asbury Park at the time. And for us, it was about a 6-month period where it was every Sunday. It was all day. Typically, we had different either teachers coming in to do different lectures and part of the teacher training syllabus. And then throughout that time, you're also required to take a number of classes, observe a number of classes, adjust classes. So it kind of varies, I think. But for me, it was about a 6-month span. And then there's also that same studio also did a summer intensive where it was twice a week throughout the week. And so I think it just kind of depends on the studio.
Yeah, mine's was about 6 to 8 weeks, so it was shorter. Mm-hmm. and we spent Friday, Saturday, Sunday together. But and it's basically like how Irene's was. The difference was, and I think yours had this, we just had a lot of mentoring. And I mean, I think that's worth saying, is that if people are looking to become a yoga teacher, to pick a program that isn't going to take your money and then say, go be a teacher, you need that support afterwards mm-hmm. to hone your skills and to just feel that you're supported and you can do it.
I feel like that's really good advice. Do you guys have any other tips for deciding which yoga program you should go into? Because aren't there different types of certifications or yoga programs that you can follow to become a teacher?
Yeah, I think depending on what style you like to practice and what style you like mm-hmm. to explore more. Like mine was a vinyasa. So what we offer at I think a lot of hot studios, and it was also a hot vinyasa. So it was teaching you about how to teach in the heat versus a non-heated class. So I think, you know, identifying a program that you want to take really depends on whether you also want to teach or not. Because some people take a training just to kind of enhance their own personal practice and never teach because that's not necessarily what right. they want. So there might be programs that don't really emphasize the teaching part of it. And it's much more like personal, like your own personal journey.
That's super interesting because mm-hmm. I've actually toyed with the idea of just taking the program just to enhance my practice, mm-hmm. not necessarily because I want to teach.
Mm-hmm. And it's good that you look for a program that's for that mm-hmm. because my yoga teacher training, and I feel like since she said where hers was, I should say mine. So shout out to Hot Yoga Healthy You in Temecula, California. I love that place. I went in just like you. Like, I was really hooked into yoga. I wanted to dive deeper into it. And then I realized, like, how much, you know, how it made me feel. And I was like, I want to give this to someone else. Like, I want this to be a gift that keeps giving. But I would consider them a teaching yoga teacher training because that first week we were up teaching what we had already been taught. Mm-hmm. And just a note. What you think you come in for yoga teacher training for, like I want to be a teacher or I want to dive deeper, it may not be what you get out of it. What I got out of it was the ability to be vulnerable and confident at the same time. I value that experience. It was worth the money. It was worth the time, you know. It was life-changing, you know.
Everybody that I talk to who has gone through the yoga teacher training, or I have like a couple friends who are going through it right now, they're like, it takes so much time and dedication, but the journey of just going through that teacher training is life-changing.
Yeah, definitely.
And you don't realize it while you're going through it, but once they look back at it, they're right. like, wow, that was such an incredible journey.
Mm-hmm. I think I spent most of my weekends like just bawling and crying because yes. it was such an emotional process. And so you really get bonded with the people that you take the training with. I went into mine not knowing a single person. Mm-hmm. Like, I was totally, and I was also the oldest, which was also a little bit intimidating because there's these younger girls, and it's sort of like, oh, I'm kind of like the mother of the group. But I felt like I was very, like Andrea said, exposed, very vulnerable. Like, you feel everything super, like, raw, like, just raw emotion. Because you're kind of also healing at the same time.
Definitely, definitely. I didn't know that you went with like younger people. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting. And then we ended up here and a lot of our clients are young. I think that it's given that's us true. Like an edge of valuing them and their minds and their time and their journey. I think a lot of older yogis sometimes, no judgment, focus on what them, you know, like I'm here, I'm from this demographic, I want to focus on everyone like me, as opposed to seeing the value in everybody and what they bring, you know, like you're in your first year of college, you haven't had it figured out. I enjoy mm-hmm. you coming in and knowing you, and like it warms my heart now.
Watching the growth process.
Watching them grow, and like a lot of them are going off to grad school now, and I'm like, I'm cheering you on. Keep going, you know, like. So I think that's interesting. I didn't know that. Oh.
I love that our studio is like on the college campus. I don't know if it's technically on the college campus, but it basically is. Like, I feel like I wish I had a studio when I was in college. Yeah. It was like right there. Yeah. And it's just so encouraging. They can walk to it from their dorm room. They can probably see it from their dorm room. I mean, it's a great opportunity.
It's nice. It's nice.
So, Irene, let's chat about, because I believe this all ties in, correct me if I'm wrong, what made you want to get your start in the mental health industry?
I think I've always just been drawn. I initially started doing a lot of community work. So I went to school for social work, but focused on community organizing and political action. So I wanted nothing to do with mental health and nothing to do with like clinical work. And I then moved to New Jersey and got a really amazing opportunity to work at the LGBT Center in New York City, and was working with like the most amazing population, young adults 13 to 21, and was doing a lot more one-on-one work with them, and that's kind of what led me down kind of in more into the mental health field, and started doing clinical work versus community like organizing or any sort of advocacy work that I had been doing in the past.
And what does that entail, working with that community? Like, because that's a very young age, 13 years old. Like, how did you, like, what was your role?
So I was the program coordinator for the arts and advocacy, anything that had to do with the arts. So we had a youth pride chorus. We had a summer camp. We did lobbying day and focused on a lot of, like, LGBT rights in New York. And worked with them one-on-one, but it was also a really unique program that people came, our doors were open and people came. It was an after-school program and people wanted to be there. They was like voluntary to get involved. And I think that the more I started to hear about people's stories and kind of why they were coming here, they really viewed it as their second home, especially when they were going through any sort of like rejection. A lot of homeless youth in the city. And so for me, that kind of really sparked my interest in really kind of dealing and working with young adults with depression or with other mental health issues, anxiety, bipolar, either them or households that they were living in, family affected by mental health. So that kind of really, you know, I wanted to do a little bit more and really then started, you know, got licensed, and started pursuing those avenues.
So what do you currently do?
So I'm currently a residential therapist for a different population, 13 through 18, and they're in a residential treatment program to work on any behavioral, mental health, and substance abuse issues that they're dealing with. The difference is that they're mandated. So for most of the clients that I work there, they're court mandated. They've been in trouble or gotten some, you know, have had many challenges throughout their life. And so this is like their second opportunity to kind of get back on track and then hopefully return back home.
So I love how you're explaining this to me. It's like making the connection that both of your current occupations and passions are actually like serving and helping people. So how did you make that segue to also becoming a yoga instructor?
So interestingly enough, I lost my job at the LGBT Center. The organization went through some like reorganizing and my position sort of got cut, and it was, we knew that it was going to happen. There were some changes that were going to be made. And one of my, young people that, I was working with, we were actually at summer camp, when I had to tell sort of, you know, my kids that I was leaving and began the termination process with them. And one of my kids asked sort of like, what am I going to do next? Like what, you know, what's the plan? And I said, I don't really have a plan, and kind of just letting them know, like it's things work out, you know, and you just got to keep pushing through. And I was being vulnerable with them in that moment, saying, like, I don't always have, you know, adults in your life don't always have the answers. You might not always have the answers. And one of my kids said, well, maybe you can become a yoga teacher now, because they know that that's kind of like what I've always wanted to do. And I would, you know, sometimes like haphazardly like teach them yoga or do breathing or meditation with them without really knowing what I was doing. And that kind of really was like, you know, here's this like young adult, like telling me, you know, like really inspiring me and like teaching me like, you know, why you're right. Like I've said, I wanted to do this and I should pursue it. And, that weekend when I was taking class, I saw that my yoga studio, was starting a yoga teacher training in about a few weeks. And then I just kind of like, all right, let's figure it out. It's very expensive. So it was kind of a risk of like, I'm unemployed and do I want to put my resources into this? And, you know, my family was really encouraging, because I felt like, am I being irresponsible with my money? So my family was really encouraging. I had to like make a quick decision as to like, you know, is this something that I can really take on right now? And am I being responsible? And it was the best decision that I ever made, for sure.
It was probably so therapeutic after you just like went through losing your job and then transitioning.
Definitely.
So have you found that any of like your mechanisms or teachings from yoga have helped you in your day-to-day job and vice versa?
Oh, absolutely. Because my job now is very different. You know, it's heavy. It's a lot of trauma. And I think that that's kind of one of the reasons where I feel like I'm in a place where I need to reset and kind of take a step back. There's a lot of like vicarious trauma that occurs, and it's hard to kind of leave my job and like just leave it behind. And I definitely feel it's had a huge impact on my life. However, when I walk through the doors of the yoga studio and I teach, it's kind of like rejuvenating. It's a reset, and that really kind of like feeds my soul. And I want to now make a commitment to do that full time and really prioritize my own personal mental health. Like here I am in this mental health field, and right now I'm struggling a little bit given how heavy my job is and the, you know, feeling like I'm in crisis mode, like 9 to 5 all the time, working with families and team members and young adults and who are really, really struggling. And I feel like I am not necessarily at my best right now in that environment, and I need to reset. I might come back to it, I might not, but I feel like I'm in a good place to make that move.
It's really nice to hear that, like, you know what you need to do for yourself and you're willing to do that. Because I feel like so many people just don't put themselves first. And, like, the whole self-care, I feel like there's a huge self-care movement right now and everybody overuses the word. But it's so true. Like, you need to know what's good for you, because you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to be able to take care of yourself before you can help other people.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in college, I used to intern at a family law practice, and we did a lot of matrimonial law. And the woman I worked for, she was a solo practitioner, and she represented a lot of battered women.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wonderful practice. Like, it was so inspiring. It was so great to, like, go to work every day and know you're really, like, helping these women. But it was so heavy.
Yes.
And, like, I worked there for about, like, 2.5 years, and, like, same thing. I was like, I couldn't do it anymore. Like, it's draining.
You feel
and
it.
Yeah. And I, like, brought it home with me, and it was just, it was so tough, and I feel the same way. Like, I would love to go back and do it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready for it right now, but, I mean, it takes a lot. So I applaud you for doing it for so long, because that really does take a lot out of you.
You see a lot. You learn a lot. You have an appreciation for life. It makes you definitely kind of take a step back and say, like, what am I grateful for? And, you know, appreciate the people that make up your circle. But it's definitely not an environment that I'm thriving in, so, at the moment.
So, Andrea, let's chat about your story a little bit.
Okay.
So You said that you were in the military for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you joined the military?
Oh, that's... No.
No, okay.
No, I'm okay
with that right after. I just feel like, was that like your career prior?
Somebody's gonna count and know my age. Okay, so I joined, I was probably 20. No, I could drink. So I was like 21, probably.
So you were 22. Young. That's young.
It's old in military terms.
In the military,
terms.
But, I mean, but like 4 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I walked in there. Oh, wow. I joined the military. I struggle sometimes with bouts of depression. And that was during one of my bouts. And, like, I saw a commercial, and I was like, oh, I'll do that. And I walked into a recruiting office, and they scooped me up really quick. And by the time I kind of woke up, I was sitting in a chow hall in South Carolina during training. You know, I was just kind of on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined, I came home, and I just really wasn't interested in the military anymore. I wasn't depressed anymore. I was a reservist at that time. And then September 11th happened, and it dawned on me that, you know, you just joined, you know, the United States Army. You're probably going to go somewhere soon. But they were about to kick me out of the Army. Like, I was a horrible soldier. Just not a great soldier. I wouldn't show up and stuff like that. Just being honest. And my platoon, this lieutenant, he said, hey, if you start coming in, you know, we won't, you know, kick you out and you won't have to pay back your bonus. So
Oy.
I said, okay, I'll start coming. And let's say I said okay on Saturday. By Monday, I got a call that we were deploying.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was February 2003. I was probably in Iraq by March or April.
That's quick.
It happened really quick. Everything happened really quick. At the time, we thought things were going very slow.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a shock that... So when we deployed, we first went to Kuwait, and I was under the assumption that we would stay there. And then one day, some man walked up to our tent and said, First platoon, you guys are going to Iraq. And I was like, wait, I'm in first platoon. So,
are you sure?
Yeah, so we did the drive into Iraq, and the rest is history. I spent 14 months of my life in Iraq, and I went in, like most people who know, if you say I went 03, 04, they kind of like, it's a light bulb, like you went there when there were no toilets, mm-hmm. you went there
right.
when there was no chow hall, there was no food, no showers, no nothing, you know. So it was really hard living conditions, and then it was really hard when dangerous things started happening as well. So there's a part in you, in the mind, where you have to shut down in order to survive that. And then you come home, it's very hard for the brain and the body to reboot to what you used to be. And it took a long time for me to get back to, you know, what I was before I left.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And how did you integrate yoga into your career afterwards?
Well, so I struggle up and down with depression and anxiety. I mean, that happened before I left, you know, but it was more intense after coming back. But you develop this will to just keep pushing forward, and I hit a brick wall. Like, I couldn't do it anymore. So some people call it your Saturn return, like when everything goes to crap.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my son, and then I got a thyroid disease, Hashimoto's,
mm-hmm.
Ended up having my thyroid removed, ended up gaining a lot of weight. Not that the weight was an issue. It was just that it wasn't my normal. I couldn't... So all roads led to going to get some mental health. I went to go see a therapist, and the therapist suggested that, you know, I start practicing meditation and mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And that led to yoga. So my entry was meditation. Most people come in with yoga. My entry was meditation and then yoga. Am I answering your question?
You are.
Okay.
I do want to talk about meditation, but first I want to jump into the whole yoga aspect. Do you think... So first of all, how did you decide that you wanted to do a yoga teacher training yourself?
Oh, I mean, I love the studio I went to. Like, you come in, you feel like a part of the family. I dug those people. I still do. I still like them. And there was like, there was a sign up and I was like, oh, should I do it? Should I do it? And I let that one go by. And I saw all these people, like they got hired and I was like, I don't know. And then finally my husband, who always pushes me to do stuff, he's like, you should do it. Like, you don't do enough for yourself. You should do it. I'll take the weekends off for you. It's all yours. And he literally did, like, that graduation. He was kind of like, okay, you're done. I'm turning everything back on. But I really felt supported, you know, and I didn't feel like I was wasting my family's money because I was so supported and encouraged to, like, you can do this. This is, you're really into it. You know, you should. So that next time it came around, I almost broke out in the hives. I was like, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. And, I signed up and they seemed really excited that I signed up. You know, again, I felt the whole process, I just felt supported all the way through. I didn't go into it expecting to come out and be a teacher. I went into it expecting to have another breakthrough. Because, you know, you get to these parts where you think I've shed that off, but I knew there was something else I needed to let go. And at that point in my life, like, you know, I'm like a strong personality, you know. But I was tired of intimidating people, and I didn't understand, like, what is it that I'm doing? And I, at that point, always had a wall up, not knowing that I had a wall up. And that is what yoga teacher training did for me. Like, I knew something was, you know, wrong or not. I wasn't as vulnerable as I needed to be to live, you know. Like, you can only live so long with a wall and not showing who you really are. And then you're just really existing, you know. Like, you need to be authentically you, you know.
That's what I was actually going to, that was my next door. I was going to say, it's like, to be your authentic self is like you're just shedding layers.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always happen all at once. It's not like one day you're like, oh, this is me. It's like little by little.
Yeah.
It's painful, like pulling layers of yourself
right
off. But once you get there, it's like, I don't know, forever there. But, you know. So do you feel like yoga has helped you heal in any way from, you know, being in the military and everything that you've gone through and just in general?
Yeah, of course. I mean, one of the biggest things at the old yoga studio I went to, they were breath focused, which is kind of like how I teach. You know, even though I'm asking you to do a lot, I'm like, breathe, breathe. It made me breathe again. Like, your body is going to breathe automatically on its own. But, like, I think someone said, your breath is like a representation of your soul. Are you allowing your soul to be, like, open and free? And that hit me. I was like, no, I'm not. You know, like, I'm like, you know.
I
like,
you just took a deep breath.
I know. Did I? Can probably hear on the recording now.
Like, so that is it. I think unconsciously when you're in harm's way, you stop taking deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
You stop living. Like, you really are
first
just
thing,
like,
you like hold on.
You hold on to it. Like, everything starts to shut down and you're like laser focused. And that yoga studio helped me to breathe again and to want to be here. Like, people used to say to me, good morning, and I would be like, what's good about it, you know? And when I started practicing yoga, I was like, I'm really happy to still be here. I'm on this other side. And oh my God, I'm about to get emotional. And as long as I am on this other side, I'm going to honor the people who have left. Because my issue is I've lost so many people in my life. And instead of asking why, I just want them to live through me. You know, like, I want to take advantage of everything that I can because they didn't have the opportunity to. And that's what yoga does for me. Like, when I'm in a pose that's uncomfortable, it's just that reminder, like, you're here, you know, and all you got to do is breathe. That's it. And that's why I torture people in my class. I want you to feel that you're alive and breathe through it and live. You're here. Be proud. Be happy. You know, like, things get really crappy. You might get shot at. Okay. But there is a reason why you're here, and you need to figure it out. And along the way, you need to, you know, support other people. And I feel like I'm rambling, but
no, not at all. I feel like you're like preaching right now. It's like good stuff that's coming out. I love it.
Mm. Yeah, so that's what it does for me. Like, that is, you know, all that time I spent just inside of me and not letting, you know, who I am and what I believe in through, it was just an awakening, you know. Every time you step on that mat, it's your time to, like, learn something new about yourself, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love that you made that analogy, too, because it's so true. I talk about this with Brian sometimes. I'm like, I love going to hot yoga. And then in the middle of hot yoga, I'm like in a crazy pose and I'm like so hot. And I'm like, I hate this. Why am I doing this? Like, every so, and then after class, I'm like, oh, that was lovely. You know, and it's like,
it's a journey.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You're like uphill and then like, okay, I'm riding downhill now. Like, yeah.
That's exactly it. That's life. It's just the journey. And like, you got to enjoy the journey. You got to breathe. You know, it's a difficult position, but you just kind of like have to breathe, do it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that. So you actually touched on something that I wanted to talk about. And it's funny because before, when we were getting our tea ready, you guys were looking at the quotes on the tea bags, which I love. I always do that. And I'm curious to know, how do you find your inspiration for class? Like, how? Because I know that you guys kind of go into class with, you know, informal but formal. You have something in your head that you guys want us to all collectively work through, or you have a mantra. There's always mm-hmm. something. So, like, where do you find your inspiration for it?
I'll go. You want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. I get my inspiration from other yoga instructors, like my girl over here, who I adore, Renee, who speaks from her heart. It's super inspiring. But if I'm, like, now I'm reading The Art of Power by Thich Nhat Hanh, and that's what I've been theming. I'm going to theme my classes the whole month for that as I'm reading the book. And then I think it's important for yoga instructors to practice, because you get inspiration from other instructors, you know, or what's going on in your life. So that's where I get my or my kids. Like, my daughter once said, like, I have the beginning of time running through my veins or something. And I was like, that is a class. Like, oh my goodness, where did you come from? You know, or, you know, when I'm telling them, you know, just breathe. Like, we may have taken one thing away from you, but look at all this that you have. And then I'm like, that's a class, you know, like, so it pops up. It's like, that's how you make it authentic.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you just sit with a piece of paper and I'm like, I'm going to do this today, people know that. Like, you're not feeling that. You don't enjoy that, you know? And that's why I like Renee, because I always feel like, you know, if you notice, and, like, if people are listening, they, if you go into a class, if you listen very closely, you can hear where your teacher speaks from. Mm-hmm. She speaks from her heart. I speak from my belly. And it speaks a lot to our personalities. You know, she's very loving and, you know, giving. And I am more like...
Yes, girl, shower me.
No, you know...
Keep them coming.
No, but she is. Like, when you've taken her class, you feel like she has you. And she cares about you, you know? Like, and that, because of that safety that I feel, I can zone out. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm like, okay, what's next? What's going on? I need instructors like that. I don't want an instructor like me. I want to provide what I would like, but I need that other side of my personality so I can zone out.
And that's how you grow.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
From learning from others, you don't need what you already have. You need, you know, to gain knowledge from others who, you know.
Exactly.
Hold on, just one more thing. I like that at this studio, which I've never seen at any other studios. I have gone to like 5 or 6 in my life, and I love seeing you guys practice in the studio, like coming to each other's classes. Like, I've never seen that at any other studio.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh no, we do that all the time in California.
I love that, like, because it's just goes to show that, you know, you never stop learning, and we all can learn from each other, and, you know, you're practicing what you preach. Yeah. So how do you find inspiration?
Yeah, girl.
So definitely from other teachers, and also kind of for me, wherever you are in life, that shows up with you on your mat. So, like, whether you're in a good place and things are going well and you're feeling well and, like, your practice is on point, like, it's a reflection of where you are in life. So if things are not going very well and you're kind of struggling, and, you know, similar to Andrea, like, also struggled with, like, depression and anxiety, if that is at the forefront of my life, then that shows up, and I honor whatever shows up each time I teach. So right now, also lots of books and reading. I'm reading The Power of Forgiveness, and I feel like that's an area in my life where I feel like I really have neglected and want to honor a lot in this year, because I, you know, it shows up either how I forgive myself, how I forgive others, whether I allow that to be part of my healing process as well, and because yoga has been such a healing journey for me, kind of coming back to that idea of forgiveness. So right now I feel like my practice is really coming from a place of forgiveness and kind of hoping to, you know, inspire others to do the same. So whatever, for me, the inspiration is really kind of like life and what is going on with life. And sometimes I show up in class and I'm too much in my head, or I've had something going on at work that's been very stressful. And I also honor that and say, like, today I don't have, like, a Dharma that's, like, inspiring. Like, let's just flow and, like, let's see if we can find it, like, on the mat.
Yes. Yeah. I love that.
Me too, because that's life. Yeah. Like, you can go into work every day and be like, all right, I'm ready to start the day. But sometimes you just get to work and you're like, I don't know what to do. Like, I need my coffee. And, you know, you just can't really start from where you are at that juncture. Yeah. So since we were talking about, like, inspirational books, do you guys have any recommendations for any motivational or inspirational books or podcasts or anything like that that you guys really like?
Oh, wow.
I like to link to them in the podcast notes, though.
So. I can't think of the name of the book. It's by my guy, is Thich Nhat Hanh, like anything of his. But his book, let me look for it. It was like the catalyst for me saying, you know what? I'm really big on honoring those who've come before you. Mm-hmm. So in his book, in that book specifically, it was saying, if you do the work, like if you do the work to find happiness and to find this peace, then you heal everybody behind you, and then you heal everyone that comes after you. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm Black. And that, on a deeper level, meant something to me, because I took it as, like, wow, I can heal all, you know, I can heal these people who have been through so much trauma, and that I'm so grateful for keeping me a part of this cycle of life. Like, they must have had to endure so much. The greatest gift I can give is to allow them peace, that I no longer carry their pain and I no longer keep it a cycle going. And that he talks a lot about that, and it was just like, got a mission. I'm healing the ancestors, you know, so I'm gonna find the name.
And you're also healing the future as well.
Yes.
In that process.
Like, why would I really like my kids? Why would I want them to carry all this baggage? Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to live their best lives, you know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, if I didn't like them, maybe I would feel different, but, you know, I really like them.
You're going to keep them, right?
I'm going to keep them. But, oh, here it is. It's called Reconciliation, Healing the Inner Child. So it was where I was. If you are, you know, struggling with, you know, people you had to come to earth through, you know, your parents, and maybe they aren't what you wanted them to be, and you know you need to work through that, perfect mm-hmm. book to work through that, because it talks about first healing yourself and then acknowledging that you do need to have a level of compassion for the people who may have harmed you. It doesn't mean you need to have them in your life. It means that you rationally have to see the method to the madness to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to relate that humanness to whatever monster it may be in your life. Be done with it, you know, forgive. That doesn't mean you invite them over for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
And move on and continue the work, you know? That's all I got.
Mm-hmm. Good one. That's a good one. mine's very, like, I guess, short and simple. And it's actually a book that we have at the studio. It's the You Are a Badass by Jen.
Oh, yeah.
Cicero, right?
Yes.
Love that.
One of my best friends actually dropped the book off in a bag the day during the time where, you know, I got told I was getting laid off, and I had like 3 weeks, and then that was going to be it for that job. And one day I came home from work and I saw the book at my doorstep. So he had, you know, and I was kind of like, I don't know, I'm not into like self-help books, like, you know, I kind of like, but I like read that in like a matter of days, like just like went through it. And actually used one of the chapters on fear for like my Dharma talk piece in yoga teacher training.
Wow.
Because it really kind of spoke to me. And then it's funny now that like all these years later, a couple of years later, it finds its way back into the studio. Like, you know, the owner bought it, and it was just like randomly there one day. And I was like, oh. And I also used it a lot as I terminated with my kids at the center. So like little bits and pieces of it I used throughout our summer camp as like my way of saying goodbye and like, you know, ending that journey, part of the journey with them. So
I really love that recommendation. I actually have never read it, but I've read You're a Badass at Making Money. It's like her you know, second book. And I believe in like the number three. So like if I say something three times, I know that it's like the universe hitting me in the face. Like, you need to read this, you need to watch this, whatever. This is your lesson, whatever it is. And I can tell you, like, in the past 2 weeks, I've seen that book like 10,000 times, and I'm like, I really just need to go to the bookstore over the weekend and get it, because it's like, then you brought it up again, and I was
that's
like,
it.
All right,
it's
obviously
a
I need to read it.
So my best friend who actually gave me the book recently moved to Colorado, and I was at the bookstore outside the yoga studio, and I saw this little, like, You Are a Badass, like, 365 days, like, little calendar, like, on the stand, and I purchased it, and I was like, that was his goodbye gift, you know?
That's so funny, because I almost bought that, too, and I was like, I gotta read the book first.
Oh, I have another one, The Four Agreements.
Yes, and who's that? I think I have that by, is it Miguel?
Yes. I like that book a lot. I read it over and over mm-hmm. again. I just read the agreements. Like, I don't read the stories. Yeah. Like, to remind myself, like, let it go. You know, like, let it go. Mm-hmm. Accept what, you know, what's going on.
That's funny because I actually purchased that book, like, maybe 10 years ago. And at the time, it was just too convoluted. Like, I couldn't wrap my head around it. I don't know if I was just, like, young and immature and I just couldn't wrap my head around it. But then every time I go to, like, a new yoga studio, they always, like, have it in the corner. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I gotta pick that up and read it again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and The Alchemist.
I've never read that one either.
You need to read that book. You need to read that book.
Do you know
that
who book. That one's by? I can link to it in the show notes if we don't.
Yeah, I don't know who it's by. But that's one of the things, like, I really believe in that idea that if you set out to do something, the universe is working in your favor to make it happen.
Hmm.
Like, I believe in that.
I believe
that's
in that too.
That's been on my bookshelf for many years, and I've yet to read it.
Read it.
Mm-hmm. See, that's a sign.
If someone says it again.
But I feel like how you said about the You Are a Badass has come up, and you just, I feel like I will read it when I feel
when
like
it's time.
The universe is saying, like, you're ready to read it, and you're ready to, like, take in this message.
One of the books that I recently just finished reading is, I don't know if you guys ever heard of it, The Art of Not Giving a Fuck. The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Oh my God, I need that book in my life.
Yes, it's so good. It's really just learning about how, like, not to give a crap about what other people think or say or do and just, like, living your best self.
I need
the
that.
The universe is telling you.
Yes.
We all got, like, the best book recommendations. It's so good. And at first I thought it was a little monotonous. I'm like, oh my God, the whole book is about this. I get it. But, like, the more you dig through it, you're like, you do more soul searching. And you, like, pull things out of you. And you're like, all right, I get it.
I have an hour drive to work. So I was telling, actually, Brian, I was like, oh, I was listening to Bring Your Own Kombucha.
Yay.
And I was like, it was Monday. And usually I'm like, oh my God, like, what's happened over the weekend? Like, I hope everybody's okay. Like, I'm really, like, anxious. And I was like, no, I'm not going to start my morning that way. I'm going to, like, listen. And I have Audible and I, like, listen to all different stuff and then podcasts. And I was like, and I'm going to have a great day. Bring Your Own Kombucha. So it was nice. I listened to, is it Jaffe?
Yes, Sophie Jaffe.
Yes.
I love her.
That was a nice one.
It's funny, too, because, like, Brian, we both used to live in Saraville, which is, like, an hour from here, and we used to commute into the city every day. And he has been listening to podcasts for, like, years, like, 10 years ago. He was
really?
Listening to podcasts when it first came out, and, like, a lot of comedians were doing it. Mm-hmm. That was basically what he was listening to. And I used to be like, you're such a weirdo. Who listens to podcasts? Who listens to them? Like, that's so weird. And now here I am, like, hosting my own podcast. And, like, the universe is, like, laughing at me, you know?
That's funny.
So where do you guys see yourselves going from here? Like, what are some of your 2018 goals?
Ooh, my goals for 2018 is to convince Irene that we need to partner up and do workshops and grow this whole yin-yang thing we've got going on into something bigger while I have my time here. Because I don't stay places very long.
Oh, no.
So I think...
We don't talk about that.
I won't ask.
But that is one of my goals. I want to do more workshops to grow my practice and grow my knowledge of anatomy and, you know, like, how people's bodies should be. I want to become more knowledgeable in how to service communities that are not necessarily honored in traditional yoga studios, like women who are overweight or full-figured. Those of us who have, I have arthritis, and I want to figure out how to get people to feel more comfortable with using props and honoring their body, you know, things like that. And also, I really need to, I had a list of all my goals, but I want to set up a website for myself, and I want to start to get more active with communities that look like me, because I think a little bit of the drawback is that when you step inside of a studio, when you don't see anyone that looks like you, when you don't feel like you're being celebrated or even acknowledged, that is the drawback. You step back and you say you don't want to do it. So I think it's really important that women who are not necessarily represented in mainstream yoga have a voice. And that's not just women of color. That's mm-hmm. women who don't fit the aesthetic at the present moment. I want them to feel safe and loved in my class. And I want to figure out how to encourage that with the parameters that I have set, you know. But the biggest goal, since I've met this great light sitting across from me, is to convince her to come along and let's share, like, what we have, what we have to offer.
What about you, Irene?
So very similar. definitely really kind of delve into yoga, like, full time. And, you know, I feel like I've had kind of like a rough year and a half since being at this new job, and kind of just getting back on track, continuing like the journey of like really being like mindful and really focusing on forgiveness and how that plays a role in my life. And again, just really learning and being and continuing to be inspired by my fellow teachers, by my students especially, and continuing to grow like in that field and the fitness and mm-hmm. health and wellness world.
I love those goals, and I'm excited to take your workshop in 2 weeks, I think it is.
Yes. No. So, is it 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
I think so, yeah. Oh, the end of the month, yeah.
It's 2 weeks. Almost. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And we're going to set intentions, right?
Yes, yeah. I'm super excited.
I love that stuff. So I have one more question for each of you, and I kind of feel guilty because I didn't prepare you for this.
Oh.
What is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
What? I like that trilogy.
That GT.
Whatever mm-hmm. guy. I like that. I think it's delicious.
Same. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. Do you even drink kombucha?
I do. I used to work, well, at the LGB Center, there was integral yoga across mm-hmm. the street. So they had a food little store, health food store. And they also had like all the essential oils across the street
that
and the yoga studio. Just throwing me shade. I like the ginger, like anything like that's very ginger based.
Throwing you shade.
For my belly, it's like super helpful. So,
well, thank you both for being on the
podcast.
Thank you. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you.